special circumstances and intolerances.
Let me just remind you that the information in this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's also not medical advice. It's just a sharing from my knowledge and information that I've gathered over the years, research I've done, clinical experience I've had with thousands of patients. It's my sharing to you. And what I recommend that you do is really research, look at your own body. If you're under the care of a medical practitioner, be sure to bounce these ideas off of them before you make major changes to your diet and lifestyle.
So if you're doing everything you think you should, and it ain't working the way you think you should, there's some other things going on. It's not you. It's not like, oh, I'll just stick with this. I'll tolerate it. No, don't. Let's look a little bit further. So there's a specific carbohydrate diet where your body, your gut, because of the way that the flora is and because of the state of your gut, you're not handling specific carbohydrates. We'll go into that. It's also called the GAPS diet, or the specific carbohydrates is a form of the GAPS diet. There's another one called FODMAPs, fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. FODMAPs is easier to say. We'll go into that, and then you could have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So these are possibilities if you're not responding. Most people will respond to what we've laid out. And we don't want to go into these special diets, which are even more restrictive, unless we have to, unless you already know that the other things aren't working for you. So the specific carbohydrate diet based on, you know, this wasn't the originator, but this is the book that became popular, Breaking the Vicious Cycle. It initially was intended mainly for Crohn's, ulcerative colitis, celiac, diverticulitis, cystic fibrosis, and chronic diarrhea. And those are all basically have inflammation at the root. The foods are allowed based on the molecular structure. So in other words, monosaccharides, sugars that have one sugar in them, so glucose as opposed to sucrose, fructose as opposed to the oligosaccharides, and galactose as opposed to lactose. So lactose is a disaccharide. There's two sugars, has to be broken down. And a lot of times we don't have the right mechanisms to break it down, and that becomes a sugar that feeds the gut bugs. Sucrose is combination of glucose and fructose. Body doesn't always have the mechanism to break that down, and so the sucrose becomes food for the gut bugs, the bad guys. And so lactose is galactose and glucose, and then maltose, which is the other one, which is two glucoses. So you're going to eliminate foods that have those disaccharides and polysaccharides. Polysaccharides would be starches. And you're just going to eat things that have monosaccharides. So you can get dextrose or glucose, or you can get fructose, and those would be tolerated, but the others wouldn't. And the premise is that the complex carbohydrates are not easily digested, because maybe we don't have the lactase enzyme, maybe we don't have enough sucrase enzyme. They're going to feed the harmful bacteria, and then they produce byproducts that inflame the intestine. And this is not a long-term diet, guys. This is not something you adopt and do for the rest of your life. It's a therapeutic diet, okay? So there, let me just mention that there's a list, and you can get it online, you can go into the books, and there's a lot of foods that I don't think are healthy on those diets, and that's the mistake I think a lot of people make. They'll go on the specific carbohydrate diet, and that still doesn't work because there's a lot of junk in there, okay? There's still some sugars in there. People are eating sugars, even though they're not the disaccharides, they're eating monosaccharides, and they're eating foods that I don't think work really well. So I've adapted that. The diet that you've got on the website is the modified specific carbohydrate diet, where I've taken the guidelines for the specific carbohydrate diet, combined them with the guidelines for the FODMAPs diet, and then taken out any foods that I don't think are desirable at all. So these are fermentable oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols. So the things they have in common with the CD, the specific carbohydrate, is it eliminates the oligosaccharides, which are short chain sugars, the disaccharides, which are two sugars, and it also eliminates the monosaccharides, so it eliminates all sugars. It also eliminates polyols, which is another word for sugar alcohol. So it eliminates things like erythritol, xylitol, mannitol, sorbitol. So these are all fermentable by the gut bugs. We want to get rid of those because they're incompletely absorbed. Not for everybody. If you have a good, healthy gut, you should be able to handle these foods no problem. But it's when you overdose your gut and you do things like we all did growing up, eating foods that were really crappy for our gut, create this imbalance and then we can't handle it. So temporarily, we remove all the things that are going to hurt. So they're difficult to digest, they're easily fermented, they exert what's called an osmotic effect, which means that it increases the amount of fluid that's drawn into the large bowel. Instead of the fluids getting absorbed by the large bowel and creating a nice, soft but firm stool, it's allowing the stool to draw more liquid in, which results in diarrhea and lead to IBS symptoms. It may be due to SIBO, which would be small intestinal bacteria overgrowth, or dysbiosis, which is usually overgrowth in the large intestine. And stress is a likely factor. So when we go through this, it's not enough just to follow a specific diet. It's important to incorporate the stress management techniques, the calming before eating, the getting rid of the bad bugs, okay? The doing things to increase the motility of your gut. Really important that we do all of it, not just one. The diet that I've put in there is called the Modified Specific Carbohydrate Diet. Incorporates the guidelines for the FODMAPs and the specific carbohydrate and what I consider more healthy guidelines. All right? So that's what you follow if you're doing the other stuff or you've done a lot of work and you know that you need that extra help. Now, for everybody, please don't get all bent out of shape because we're eliminating even more of the foods from you, because a lot of the veggies fall into here. So you'll see that certain vegetables are just not allowed. There's a smaller list. So if you're finding that sometimes when you make green smoothies or you make blended soups, you're not really digesting them well, then take a look at that FODMAP SCD diet and then just eliminate the greens that are not allowed in there and see if that makes a difference. You may be able to drink those green smoothies and those green soups as long as you eliminate some of those FODMAP and SCD foods. Make sense? Last but not least, we have SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. It's getting a lot of press lately. It didn't used to be well known. And it's basically an overgrowth of large intestinal bacteria that go into the small intestine where they don't belong. Great picture, huh? They rob you of B12 and iron and other nutrients. They eat them. They damage the mucosa, which can lead to leaky gut. They can deconjugate bile, which is basically break the bile apart, making it not so useful, which can lead to fat malabsorption and also fat-soluble vitamin malabsorption. So your A's and your D's and your K's and your E are not going to be absorbed well when you have SIBO. It can trigger pro-inflammatory cytokines, which are chemicals that are inflammatory chemicals in your body, which can create damage to your gut lining and cause leaky gut. And they can create sugar cravings, because that's what they thrive on. So if you're constantly getting those sugar cravings, it may be due to blood sugar imbalance, but it may be due to SIBO. They cause an increase in mucus production, which can cause the pores in the gut to get gummed up. So it's an overproduction of mucus. And then damage to what's called the migrating motor complex, which are these complexes of nerve fibers that help to push things along. And so things aren't moving. The motility is dampened and you're not moving things along. So instead of things moving through you and going out into the small and large intestine, they sit in the small intestine for too long and you get an overgrowth. It's a complex problem, complex solutions. And the diagnosis, the true full diagnosis is from doing that hydrogen methane breath test. In lieu of doing that, you can kind of maybe assume that this might be going on when all the other things you're doing to work on the gut are not really working as well as you think. And there are several approaches to helping you overcome this. This is a picture. You can study this offline for those of you who like to geek out on details. And it just shows some of the treatments that help, the massage, which is really good for moving things along, abdominal massage. When you have those migrating motor complexes that aren't working real well, you want to get in there and massage it through, you know, probiotics, prebiotics, avoiding sweets. There's a whole bunch of stuff listed there that we've talked mostly about, but there's other things. We'll talk about some specific nutrients and herbs. There's some links there. Let's see what else there is. The various symptoms. So it's just a really nice little overview chart. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, but you can study it. And then finally, what do you do if that's what you have? Okay? You got to starve the bacteria. One of the things that's really helpful for SIBO, which is a really hard thing to do, is an elemental diet. And the elemental diet is one that's basically just the kind that we don't normally want to eat, right? It's all these fabricated nutrients. There's no real food in it, but it's just providing all the nutrients that we need. So you might have elemental amino acids, and there's formulas you can get. You may have some vitamins and minerals without a lot of the food components. And you're basically doing some liquids only with all pre-digested, easy to adapt and easy to get in you nutrients, okay, using the SCD and FODMAP diets or other things that are helpful for starving the bacteria. Killing the bacteria with antimicrobials. And there's some of the same antimicrobials we've talked about before, but there's also some other microbials that have been found, but they're very specific doses that have been studied. There are specific antibiotics that are used. Rimoxifen is one of them, and it's actually not a bad antibiotic as antibiotics go. And some people just opt to do that because you can get it under control in a couple of weeks versus like 4 weeks. And that will kill off a lot of these bugs without actually getting into your bloodstream and getting systemic. So it's kind of, as antibiotics go, it's one of the better ones. But you can do it herbally. And one of the naturopaths that I've studied with and listened to, she talks about the fact that she has done studies and she's seen really good results with the herbals. So I'm passing on some of her protocols, and I've got her name is somewhere on here. I think I have a link to it. I don't have a link to it. She's got some good stuff. It's called SIBOinfo.com if you want more information. And there's a couple of supplements that are helpful, but they have some ingredients that you may or may not like. Dysbiocide, along with FC-Cytal by Biotics, or Candibactin AR and Candibactin BR by Metagenics. And those have a combination of some of these other things. Again, with the combination formulas, you're kind of stuck with, oops, what if I don't tolerate one of the things in the formula? So it's best to try some of the individuals. The things that tend to work, berberine, which comes from a golden seal, Oregon grape, barberry, coptis, and even philodendron, 5 grams a day, which is a lot more than we typically get. Thorne has a product called Berber 500, so that's 500 milligrams. So 5 grams would be 10 of those a day. It's a lot, but that's what's been studied to be effective against these bugs living in the small intestine, and it takes about a month. Allicin is the active ingredient in garlic, and there's a product called Alamed. The highest potency formula is Alamed. And you can get that if you want to, or you can just get the allicin, you know, garlic, extracted garlic. Oregano, neem, and cinnamon, and you play around. Oregano a few drops. Neem is another one. Actually, for the small intestine, probably the oregano is best not taken in the water, but taken in capsules. So you can put it in capsules and take it so that it's released further down in the gut. So those are some of the things you can do. You also have to repair the gut, that 30-day protocol we just talked about. Prokinetics. Prokinetics, usually they prescribe drugs for this. Low-dose naltrexone happens to be the most beneficial in terms of the least side effects. But again, it requires a doctor's prescription. But there's been a lot of studies on the herb Triphala, which is a combination of amla and 2 other Ayurvedic herbs that I never can pronounce quite right. But Triphala is very easy to get. You can get it in powdered form. You can get it in capsule form. And Triphala is a good prokinetic. There's been a lot of studies with it with SIBO. And then restoring gut functions, making sure that the stomach acid is working to kill off these guys. The ileocecal valve dysfunction contributes to SIBO. Because think about this, ileocecal valve, we're going to talk about that in our large intestine anatomy piece, but the ileocecal valve is on the right-hand side. It's the doorway between the small and the large intestine. And that valve is supposed to open up. As soon as you eat food, there's a reflex that happens, the gastroileal reflex. So the stomach says, hey, food coming through. So it says, open the door, let the stuff that's in the small intestine out through the large, close the flap, and then allow the rest of the food that's new to be absorbed in digestion. And what happens is sometimes the ileocecal valve gets irritated. You can even have something like a seed get stuck in it and causes it to be spasmodic. So the ileocecal valve can get stuck in the open position, which can do one of two things, or sometimes a combination of both. It can allow the small intestinal content to push through too fast, and more seriously, it allows the large intestinal contents to backflow into the small intestine, which is one of the leading causes of SIBO. A lot of other causes of SIBO. Surgeries. Surgery for something completely not related to the gut can cause it. Shoulder surgery, just the invasion of the body, of the surgery. If you've had any kind of gut resection, blind loops, and people do that when they have intestinal gastric bypass surgery, they have a blind loop, and it's very common for the gut bugs to grow out of control in that blind loop. So there's a number of causes for it. So what we want to do is restore the function, restore the movement, repair the gut, get rid of the bacteria, and stop feeding them. And that's the way you deal with SIBO. So this is not like the first line of defense, but if you've had chronic long-standing, this may be something to look into. And if you go through the 30-day process and the 28-day candida process, and you're working on the mucilage, and you're doing the relaxation, and you're doing everything we've given you in this program, and you're not getting the results you think you should, then you really need to start looking at that modified SCD diet and managing for SIBO.